Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 81, Outside Temperature Sensor. How does it affect your car? First of all, I want to give credit to the idea on this one as far as the subject and title in regards to the idea of doing this particular one. Thanks, Mark Wolf. He's one of my normal customers versus an abnormal customer now. No, he's one of my normal customers at the shop. And he was leaving the other day. I'd done a quick oil change for him. And I asked him about, hey, you know, I'm looking for ideas and for new podcast subjects and titles. And he said, well, I got one. He goes, the thing about this outside temperature sensor, I don't understand why that affects your climate control system. So it's like, oh, okay, well, that's a good subject. On this one, I am going to talk briefly. I'm not going to get too technical, but as far as how the outside temperature sensor actually works, I am going to talk about the different systems that is taking a reading from it, and more specifically, how it really does affect the climate control system quite a bit, actually, believe it or not. So we'll go from there. So how does it work? Excuse me. Well, most temperature sensors in any car, there's two different kinds. One's called a PTC and the other one is called an NTC. PTC meaning positive temperature coefficient, NTC meaning negative temperature coefficient. Person could say, well, geez, Brad, that's all too technical. What do I care? Well, in the normal course of electrical and theory and practice, one of the things that happens, a PTC, positive temperature coefficient, typically anytime you have more resistance in a circuit, okay, as the voltage and the amperage are trying to go through, if you have a point of resistance, resistance in that circuit will go higher and higher and higher potentially, which also creates heat. Okay, this is how a heating element works, is you're forcing electricity through a wire or some kind of heating element that it's putting resistance in the system, and it's putting enough to where that heating element, not surprisingly, heats up. I mean, it's doing that by design. Okay, that would be a positive temperature coefficient, and they can be self-regulating in that as the resistance goes up and the temperature goes up, and then the resistance goes up, and so on and so forth. There's a point where it becomes potentially self-regulating. Okay, it can only go so high. I say that. Yes, obviously there's issues where if the temperature at any given point, let's say at a connection or something, goes high enough to damage the connection to where the connection now becomes open. Okay, so that's a PTC. Negative temperature coefficient is just the opposite of that. In this case, in regards to a temperature sensor, the colder it is outside, or the colder that the sensor is being subjected to, instead of the resistance going down, it goes up. Okay, so in other words, it works the opposite of a PTC type of sensor. So in this case, on an outside temperature sensor, if the temperature sensor were to go completely bad as an open, which would be infinite resistance, it's going to read the lowest temperature that it can, that it's designed to even see. Okay, whereas as the temperature goes higher, then the resistance goes down in the circuit. Okay, so that's a negative temperature coefficient. The reason they do that, this is especially for in regards to the climate control system, is that the most common thing to happen with a temperature sensor is they can get physically damaged. Okay, they do tend to be in the front of the car. They are low on the car typically, and so, you know, a rock or something can hit them, or they can get, I've seen them where they're mounted into a plastic panel. This is specifically on a BMW, but they're mounted in a plastic panel, and that panel, you know, if somebody drives over something, whatever, the panel gets damaged, and ultimately the sensor can become dislodged and drag against the ground, and of course the customer has no idea any of this is happening. The next thing they notice is that they happen to either turn on their AC system, or they're getting this gong coming on where it's showing that there's the possibility of black ice all the time, and I'll talk about that more in a moment. And they're looking at their outside temperature sensor, and it's showing negative 40 degrees, okay, which is not likely going to happen too much very often anywhere in the United States, really, let alone, you know, most places. But so, again, that goes back to that negative temperature coefficient thing, that the circuit has gone open. So, in other words, infinite resistance. And so the system shows the lowest temperature that it possibly will display, which in this case is negative 40 degrees, excuse me. As far as the operation of the outside temperature sensor, they're generally pretty reliable. Like I say, the biggest reason that I see of having to replace them is because they become physically damaged. I've also had to do some wiring repairs because rodents will, again, the wiring is kind of low on the car, and so potentially rodents will chomp away at the wiring, of course, bite it through, and then again, we go back to that infinite resistance, low temperature reading, blah, 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 okay. One of the things that's kind of interesting about that particular circuit as far as the outside temperature sensor, it is what's called vehicle speed dampened. Now, what do I mean by that, and why is that important? It means that, let's say, you know, you're driving along moving, and of course it's going to simply show you the outside temperature. But let's just say it's a hot summer day, LA or whatever, you're stuck in stop and go traffic. Obviously, you're not moving very fast. And of course now, especially on a hot day, I mean, the air temperature coming off that asphalt could be, who knows, 120, 130 degrees, maybe even higher than that, okay? So, but you're not moving very fast. You're barely moving. Well, if the temperature sensor circuit was not vehicle speed dampened, okay, it would show the outside temperature going higher and higher and higher, where you're looking down and it's saying, oh yeah, it's 125 degrees. Well, no, it's not, okay? That's the air temperature at the sensor, but it's because you're hardly moving. Okay, so the circuitry is designed to where when it sees that you're barely moving, it simply shows the previous stabilized temperature and it just stays at that. And then, of course, once you get going, let's say you're in a traffic jam or you're passing by an accident or something, as you start moving again, then it will start actually reading the temperature again and displaying it, you know, as normal. Okay, so that is something. Sometimes people notice that, other times people, you know, I mean, it again, it's designed to operate to where it's not showing an instantaneous reading, because there's times where you don't actually want it to do that. Okay, so what systems use the reading? Okay, well, certainly the instrument cluster, obviously. You know, that's where it's typically displayed. The other thing that's usually set up within the instrument cluster, or certainly if you have what would be considered an onboard multi-information display in your car, not all BMWs have them, but there's what's called a black ice warning, okay? Black ice can form, and what is black ice? Okay, well, let's say it's been raining, or there's dew or water on the ground. At 36 degrees Fahrenheit or lower, that water can potentially freeze, okay? It's a very, very thin layer of ice, and it's called black ice because it's such a thin layer, you can't see it. So the reason it's called black ice is we're assuming that you're driving on a normal asphalt road, which, of course, is black, and there's this potential thin layer of ice that forms. Well, obviously, from a traction and stability standpoint, that's not a good thing. So one of the things the outside temperature sensor is doing is obviously it's supplying that information, in this case to the instrument cluster, so it can display the temperature itself. And again, if you have a multi-information display, in other words, an onboard computer, okay, which believe me, your car has many of them, but this one is functions as like range and average miles per hour and so on and so forth. One of the things it's looking for is the possibility of black ice. So what happens is at 36 degrees or lower, you will typically get it'll kind of gong, okay, the instrument cluster will gong, and it'll automatically change to whatever the outside temperature is at that time, which is typically 36, 35 degrees in that area. And so that's one of the things it's looking at, is it's helping you to realize there's the potential for black ice on the road. Okay. Yes, of course, the climate system looks at it, and that's where I'm going to spend most of my time real quick here talking about the other systems that look at it. And frankly, I'm going to say these are possibilities because I didn't really research it per se, but I'm going to say that I think I've run across this in the past in different diagnostics that I've done. I believe the dynamic stability control or traction control system looks at outside temperature. Okay, again, it wants to know, okay, are we possibly getting into a black ice type situation? Okay, I believe the engine management system looks at it, and that's mostly related to compare with, you do have a separate intake air temperature sensor. So in other words, there's an outside temperature sensor for kind of what the car is being subjected to. There's also an intake air temperature sensor for the engine management system wants to know what is the actual temperature of the air that the engine is breathing in. Okay. I believe that if that intake air temperature sensor stops working, it will fail safe to the outside temperature sensor, or it uses those two to compare, because frankly they shouldn't be too much different. Okay. And so I think one of the things it does is it looks at both of those to compare the two to see, make sure that the intake air temperature sensor is working properly. I can tell you for sure that on the engine management system, it's looking at intake air temperature. It has a pretty big effect on the ignition timing. Okay, so that is an important item for the engine management system to look at is intake air temperature sensor. So like I say, I think that's why if it realizes that sensor has gone bad, it defaults to, well, what is the outside temperature sensor doing? Because it does definitely affect ignition timing. Okay. The other possibility, again, is that the transmission control system, again, could also be looking at outside temperature because, again, it's looking at what's the possibility of, road condition type situation with black ice and whatever. Most importantly, and this is where it probably becomes more interesting during the summertime, and this is what Mark originally brought up, is that he had heard someone say this and he didn't really understand, why would it affect it? And that is a climate control system, okay, the AC heater system. It needs to know the outside temperature. And a person could go, well, what for? I mean, why is that important? What it's actually looking at, the climate system in general, is, and again, these are the ones that are, computerized, that are either fully automatic or semi-automatic. We're not talking about a 1980s or earlier vintage car where you had to do everything. Okay, or almost everything. We're talking about a car that you set the temperature, you put it on auto, and that's it. You forget about it. It does that pretty much everything for you as far as airflow, where it's distributed, heat, cooling, the whole shebang. Okay, so what is the climate control system looking at? Well, it's looking at outside air temperature, inside interior air temperature. It's looking at what temperature you're commanding it to do. It also typically has a solar sensor, some kind of sun-type sensor, because it wants to see how bright is it outside, so it knows the heat load on the car. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, outside temperature, inside temperature, what you're commanding it to do, and some kind of a solar or sun-type sensor so it can see the heat load. Okay, so why is this all important? Well, it gets interesting during the summertime. People either they're not paying attention, or they think it's no big deal. Maybe sometime during the winter or whatever, they realize that, that their outside temperature, something's wrong because it's showing negative 40, and they're going, well, it's not that cold. I mean, especially in Southern California, we know it's not that cold. So they just disregard it. Well, it becomes an issue as we get into summertime. Because what happens is that if the climate control system thinks it's negative 40 degrees outside, you can be rest assured you could push all the buttons in the world trying to get your AC to work. It won't work. Okay, it's not going to come on because it thinks it's negative 40 outside. So in the hotter climates, this is where you could have a perfectly well operating AC system, but the problem is that it's not going to come on because it thinks it's negative 40. And I certainly have seen not only customers not realize what's going on, but I mean, unfortunately, I've also heard of shops where they go through a whole AC system check and all this kind of stuff, and they can't figure out why it's not coming on. It's not coming on because it thinks it's way cold outside, Okay. So that's really probably the biggest time potentially where having a properly operating outside temperature sensor is actually important. So it, you know, I mean, I've had situations where customers, oh yeah, that's been like that since last winter or something like that. And I says, well, if you want to have your AC working, now's the time we got to fix it. And the thing is that there could actually be something wrong with the AC. Potentially, it could be low on Freon or something. But again, as long as it sees that negative 40 or something, obviously, you know, that's very cold, AC is not going to come on. So there's times where I've told customers, look, we need to fix that first, and then I can properly test and check your AC system. It may work perfectly fine from that point. Okay, it may just be whatever's wrong with the outside temperature sensor circuit, or there could be potentially something wrong with the AC as well. But first things first, you know, we have to fix the most important thing first, and you know, it's quite likely that will fix the problem. So that's about it on the old outside temperature sensor. You know, it seems like it's kind of just a, well, it's just, you know, who cares? Well, you start caring when it gets hot outside and your AC won't work. The other side of it too is that, for that matter, I mean, any time the climate system is on, if it's constantly thinking it's negative 40 outside, or some kind of a, you know, obviously abnormally low, wrong, incorrect temperature, the system's going to respond accordingly. It's going to, well, like I was telling Mark, I mean, like with the heater, it anytime you have the climate system on, it looks at what is the outside temperature. What is the interior car temperature? What am I being commanded to do? And what is the solar factor? How sunny is it outside? Okay. And based on that, this is why, as a, for instance, let's say it's a hot day, the outside temperature is 90 or 95 degrees, but the interior car temperature, because the car has been sitting outside and it's what's called greenhouse effect. And we all know this because we're not supposed to leave our kids or our animals in our cars when it's hot out. Because of greenhouse effect, you know, your car can easily get 120 to 145, 150 degrees inside. Okay. So if you think about it, when you get into the car, and let's say your climate system is an automatic type system, it's set for automatic. Okay. You start your car up, the system comes on. Why does it come on like the fan is like at full speed? Okay. Instead of where it's at half speed or quarter speed. Well, it's because it sees that the outside temperature is 90 or 95 degrees, but the interior temperature is 145. Okay. So it realizes, and let's say you've commanded it to be at 70. Okay. So it knows that we better turn on the fan full speed. We better turn on the AC to full max. Okay. And of course, you can help this system, which I've got a whole nother podcast about this. About, you know, helping your AC, maximizing your the efficiency of your AC. Just real quick, what I would certainly recommend to do in that case is to partway open all of your windows. Okay, get that hot air out of the car as fast as possible, and don't just rely on the AC system to now cool down 140 degree temperature air. I mean, let's face it, at that point, the quicker you can get that hot air out of there, the better. Okay. So, but that's one of those, that's one of the examples of why is the outside temperature important, is because it realizes, wow, we're actually hotter inside the car than we are outside. So the climate control fan comes on full speed, the AC goes to max. It's trying to cool down that car as quickly as it possibly can based on what you're commanding it to do. And then if you notice as you drive along and the air temperature in the car gets cooler and cooler, the fan speed comes down, doesn't it, by itself? Okay. It does that because it realizes, well, we don't have to be at full max all the time. Now, of course, there are AC systems out there that says max on it. Well, when you push that, you're bypassing the control system. You're telling it, I want max AC all the time until I push another button, like for auto or something like that. So that's about it. Kind of a neat sensor. It does probably a lot more than what people think it does. And, you know, a lot of information there, believe it or not. So thanks, Mark, for the idea. Appreciate it. And, I appreciate you listening. I hope you got something out of this one. It's kind of a short one, but, hopefully it's been informative. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me, or for that matter, if you want to email me with, if you got a subject or title or something that I haven't talked about already, you know, by all means, give me a quick email and I will definitely take it from there. If I need to do research and, you know, come up with a podcast stuff, that's fine. I mean, that's why I'm doing this. Some of this stuff is right out of my head. There are other things. Certainly I do some research to get kind of, you know, facts and figures and stuff like that. So I appreciate your time. As far as email wise, as usual, it's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I'm also, you know, my shop is Brad's Motorworks in Newbury Park, California. I've also got a couple of web pages. And, you know, again, for that matter, if you want on, I put out a monthly podcast newsletter. If you want to be part of that, again, you know, email me at that email I just mentioned. And let me know you want to be put on the podcast email monthly newsletter list, and I will certainly take care of that. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you listening. I hope you have a fantastic day and a great tomorrow. And thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.